Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
One of the best things in Las Vegas is that we cater to all price points. You know, like low end, you got your taco trucks and your budget motels. But on the high end, you've got like luxury suites and prefix menus. But how much money can you blow on a meal in Las Vegas? Today on CityCast Las Vegas, I'm chatting with food influencer Phil Tsang, aka Las Vegas Phil. And he tells us about the most expensive restaurants in Las Vegas and their extravagant, mind-boggling menus. It's Thursday, September 21st. I'm David Figler, and here's what Las Vegas is talking about. Philip Tsang, a.k.a. Las Vegas Phil. Welcome back to CityCast Las Vegas, man.
Thank you. Great to be back. How are you?
Doing good, because I know when we have Las Vegas Phil on, we're going to be talking food. So let's jump into it, man. Las Vegas Phil, what is the most expensive meal that you have ever eaten in Las Vegas?
It would have to be Kame, which is an omakase experience on Spring Mountain at the Lotus Street Apartments. That meal starts at $500 per person. I'm not including alcohol in this. If I were to include alcohol as well with food, usually the memory is quite hazy, and it is now. And
I might have spent 10 grand. I don't know. After that second bottle of tequila, whatever.
Exactly.
So that's a hefty price tag. Was that a tasting menu, or did you just kind of go nutty all over the board on the menu?
So an omakase experience basically means trust the chef, and they kind of bring out the courses. Chef Eric will give you a menu in the beginning, kind of giving you a vague idea of what's to come. Doesn't really specify the presentations or anything like that. But yeah, usually it's a set menu. I would say maybe it's around 16 to 18 courses of just small bites here and there as it goes kind of through the couple of hours dinner.
Yeah. I mean, that's a dent in the wallet. What did you get over those 2 hours?
So usually it's a lot of just high-end ingredients. A lot of A5 Wagyu, foie gras, caviar, fattier cuts of fish like the Otoro from Japan, different preparations of like hairy crab. Lots of stuff like that.
Yeah. And the foods that you're mentioning there, I mean, I think they're all pretty much synonymous with the high-flying food lifestyle, right? I mean, caviar, of course, and foie gras. I mean, these are things that you see on a menu and you're like, maybe someday I'll do that caviar flight, you know, that just looks so intimidating, but they throw it kind of all together for you. What else about that experience might have made it a standout apart from the price?
Oh, I mean, the setting, the omakase room setting that they have in Kame is amazing. Just the staff and just the way the presentations of the dishes are. It's really just one of the very few unique, to Vegas's own experience. And there's been so many people that have been to Kame, lots of pro poker players. Dua Lipa was just there not too long ago, a few others, and I hear from a lot of people that do DM me after they have their experience saying it is possibly the best omakase they've ever had in the world.
In the world? Wow. Yeah. I mean, for a lot of folks in Las Vegas, you could go out for a nice celebratory dinner for $100, right?
Absolutely.
And it's probably a nice meal. So I guess what goes into elevating a meal into that upper stratosphere expensive at a high-end restaurant?
It has to do with the quality ingredients and the preparation. It isn't just, your basic nigiri, although that's part of the meal as well. You know, if you go on my Instagram, I posted Akame several times and the presentations are pretty outstanding. So that's really what sets it apart. And the quality grids. I know Chef Eric is quite the snob. You know, there's only two or three sushi suppliers in town, but he's sent a lot of stuff back, a lot of stuff he won't use. And you can really just tell the difference, huge difference between your basic AYCE sushi and what he's doing.
Do these chefs ever go, like if there's only a couple of sushi providers, do they ever do like these special orders from outside the normal networks?
Yes, yes. I mean, some of the best chefs have a guy who know a guy.
Have a guy who know a guy who... Yeah. Found a truck.
Yeah. But, you know, sometimes you see, oh, everyone is magically serving squash blossoms today. I mean, what happened?
Yeah. And what about the service on these kind of meals? I imagine in a lot of ways, almost choreography, like old Hollywood style. I mean, is that unreasonable to think of it that way? Or is it just, tell me what it's like. What's the service like at a $400 meal?
I mean, if you're there, as a average customer, I think it seems very seamless and very like just kind of naturally happens. But yeah, there is a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. And if you really just focus on the service with any of the restaurants that charge that much, I mean, it's really just a great kind of beginning to end experience. The attention to detail when you get up and, you know, they fold the napkins or whatever, or they just notice, you know, if one of the people in the party does use the restroom or makes a phone call, that they kind of are able to halt dinner so courses just don't build up at the seat.
All right, Phil. So we talked about Kame. That's number one. That's your most expensive dining experience. But let's get the rest of that list out. You know, this is like expensive food porn right now. We're going to jump into it. What are the next three expensive dining experiences after Kame?
Sure. So first, we're going to start with Grand Cru by Partage. Partage is a modern French restaurant located on Spring Mountain. And they recently stepped up their game last November, where they opened up a private dining room, kind of like a 5D dining experience with like a 7-course dinner with wine pairings and caviar. And that goes for $400. And that's all in, including tax and tip. So... It all, as absurd as it sounds, it almost feels like you're getting more of a value for your $400 there because of the wine as well.
So that wine is included. So that's different than most of those that we, you know, think about as far as the add-on. Okay. And Partage is over there in the Chinatown area. They're in that same strip mall with like Golden Tiki and 100 other interesting things, right?
That's right. And then they... leased out the place next door to them and expanded that whole thing. And so that's a dinner experience that's only available right now on Fridays and Saturdays. I think the dining room fits maybe up to 20.
Oh, so it's pretty intimate.
I've been there a couple times and we've hosted more of an intimate party where it's like a table for 10. And that's been a really fun experience.
Okay. And at Partage for that Grand Cru $400 experience, what's a standout dish or the most extravagant part of that meal?
So the best part about Partage is that the menu changes monthly. So it's always a surprise. They always throw curveballs. And even on that day, I mean, if they get something that's great that has come in, they will change the courses accordingly. So for me, as a frequent diner at Partage, I feel like I just love the surprises that come every time. There's no exact same dinner I've ever had there.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Okay, so after Partage, what's the next one?
Next one would be Guy Savoy, which is located at Caesar's Palace. Longtime super famous French chef. Yeah, there seems to be a running thing with French.
Yeah, and, I was saying French.
It's super expensive.
Well, butter ain't cheap, and they use a lot of butter.
Yes, a lot of butter, a lot of carbs. Really just heaven for me.
And how much is the Guy Savoy experience?
Guy Savoy is $400 as well. They have a Forbes 5-star menu. And it's kind of like Guy Savoy's greatest hits, including like the black truffle soup and all that stuff. A lot of people don't like the dining room because it's very high ceiling, kind of cavernous. Makes you feel like maybe you're in an artsy convention hall. But I definitely dig the experience. And of course, the food was top notch.
How much more can it go if you get the wine on top of that? Like you get a decent bottle of wine that pairs with that $400 meal. What kind of extra are we looking at there?
If you do the premium wine pairing for that 5-star menu, I believe it's an additional $300.
So seven.
Yeah.
Seven large.
If you go, if you're going all out.
Per person.
Per person.
Wow. Okay. So after Guy Savoy, are we getting away from France?
We aren't.
Oh no.
Yeah.
It's those French.
So it's Joël Robuchon. Or as some people will say, Joël Robuchon. And to me, I would say that would probably be, for me, the best restaurant in all of Las Vegas. The menu degustation is at $485 per person. It's around between 16 to 19 courses. And it's just a really well thought out French culinary journey to me. And but they do have lower priced menus as well, where you can get like one appetizer, two main courses, one dessert, or two appetizers, one main course, et cetera, et cetera. So I think you can get in there at maybe like $185 per person.
Bargain.
I'm pretty
man.
Sure you won't be full after. But yeah, that's a way to go as well.
Now I've never eaten at Robuchon, but I hear about this like crazy butter experience. I mean, speaking of butter, do you know anything about what I'm talking about?
That there's some kind of
famous butter. What is that? What can you do with butter?
I believe it's literally drugs that the DEA should look into and will probably make illegal if they kind of sifted through that butter. But yeah. One of the most epic parts of the Joël Robuchon experience is the bread cart. They kind of roll it out to the table and it features maybe, I don't know, 15 different types of bread that you can choose from. And then with that bread comes this incredible butter display that they kind of scrape the French butter off of. And you just use that with the bread. I mean, it's incredible. It's really the greatest butter ever. The breads are incredible as well. And a lot of people who complain that they'll never get full at expensive dinners like this, I guess they could just load up on the bread if they wanted to. I choose to try to control myself, but the bread and the variety is incredible.
All right. Now, you know, I'm impressed. Trust me. I'm very impressed, and I'm never going to say that. But I was also just at the Minnesota State Fair on a little mini vacation, mm-hmm. and I saw guys making butter sculptures that were the identical likeness of local beauty queens like Miss Minnetonka, and it looked exactly like her. So,
that's
you know,
unbelievable.
I think that there might be some room for Robuchon to even step it up further, is to bring out that amazing butter and put it in the likeness of L.V. Phil and David Figler. I think if they do that, I will go there with you. Do you think it's going to happen?
Butter sculptures could definitely be a possibility. I think there would be better candidates than us, but I think it would be it's a very cool idea.
Come on, man. We're handsome fellas. You know, we're talking about all these sort of set prefix meals, but you could do some serious damage bouncing around a la carte at some of these places too, right? I mean, you could run up a bill of more than $1,000 a person if you really went crazy.
Absolutely.
What are some of the most expensive single items in the last couple of years that you've, I don't know, seen on a menu, maybe tried off of a menu?
Well, in general, steaks are, I mean, Las Vegas is really a capital of overpriced steaks compared to anywhere. I mean, Carver Steak, their Tomahawk, I think starts at like $285 now, where, you know, 2 years ago, I think the most expensive Tomahawk in the city was like $150. So anything steakhouse related usually is where the money is. Great examples are Bizarre Meats or Golden Steer, Barry's. I mean, those are great examples. Jean George are great examples of places that would, who just, you know, charge exorbitant amounts for steak. And there's no shortage of people that want to get in there. I mean, they're routinely booked out, especially on the weekends. But like certain like one item dishes, I mean, yeah, it would probably have to do something with lobster or steak.
Yeah. And I mentioned like caviar flights because I've seen some of those that even at Bizarre Meats, or I think there was a caviar flight that just was eye-popping expensive.
Yeah. I was just at Bizarre maybe a couple weeks ago. I think it was some sort of like crazy Ocetra caviar presentation with Krug or some kind of champagne, and it was like $600. And that's just to start dinner.
I don't know why I have to even preface it with, I've never tried it, but I remember Fleur, which was a longtime restaurant that recently closed, used to advertise a $5,000 hamburger.
Oh, yes.
I mean, when does it just become gimmick? You know, what's the point of having something like that on a menu?
I think it's just really more of a PR news piece than anything else to get out the name of the restaurant nationally. And hopefully, you know, Joan and Bob from Milwaukee, Wisconsin stops by the restaurant just because they heard of it.
Take a picture of the menu and send it to all their friends.
Take a picture of the menu and head over to Rubio's or wherever. Oh, Salt Bay is the biggest.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I mean, you talk about the most expensive steak in Las Vegas. That's it. The Tomahawk that's covered in gold is what, $2,700?
What?
Yeah. And then when he was here during that opening month, you know, when people came there in droves and bought those $2,700 Tomahawks, instead of getting bottle service at the club, the steakhouse was the club because, you know, Salt Bay was the DJ and basically everyone's just kind of going nuts as he's just cutting steaks.
Phil, last question. What do you think these expensive meals do for Vegas's reputation, good and bad, even if most people will never, ever order them?
Well, you know, Vegas has always been a place which takes care of high-end clientele in the best ways possible. And I think any casino or any hotel resort that wants to attract the sharks, attract the high-end business people, I mean, you got to have these kinds of restaurants. I mean, there's a reason why, you know, some of these sharks will never stay at the Link, will never stay on Fremont Street. And it's because of a lot of these restaurants. So I think there's a lot of good in having it here. I mean, the cuisine, the gourmet scene in Vegas is pretty outstanding right now. And the best part is that a lot of these guys, after they do their stint 3, 4, or 5 years, they end up off the strip doing some amazing stuff.
Well, that's always the hope, right?
Yeah,
rid of the shackles of what they have to do and who they have to sort of cater to in a lot of ways, and then just come out and do it for the people.
But so I think that's all good stuff. I really don't see any negatives to having, I mean, such high-priced, high-end gourmet restaurants in town. I mean, if you don't like it, you just don't go. I mean, that's the beauty of places like MGM. There's so many other more reasonably priced spots to go to in there and around there. How about you? I mean, obviously you do think there's a negative. I'm curious.
I think it's just this horrible tease, or that, you know, a family saves up to go do one of these things, and at the end of the day, for whatever reason, they're just like, maybe we should have bought that mattress instead, you know? But maybe they did have an amazing experience, one that's worthy of, you know, passing down as legend from generation to generation about the time that they, you know, ate at Comey.
Right. But I liken it to like Crystal Shopping Center. I mean, all those super high-end clothes are there. I mean, it doesn't mean, I mean, it's like window shopping, I guess, in that way. Yeah.
Yeah, in a certain way. Well, LV Phil, always fun talking food with you. Maybe you and I'll grab a relatively inexpensive $50 hamburger at Barry's together. That might be the way to go.
Sounds good.
Thanks again for joining us on CityCast Las Vegas.
Thanks for having me. Great talking to you.
That's all for today here on CityCast Las Vegas. If you enjoyed the show, here's what you can do. Hit the share button on this episode, and the first three people who pop up on your list, well, they have to treat you to dinner at one of the restaurants we talked about. Hey, we don't make the rules, so smash that share button. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. Y'all take care.